I'm Chris Goodwin with Goodwin Farms in Alvarado, Texas. You're listening to the latest news in Texas agriculture on Texas Ag Today.
This is Texas Ag Today, the number one source for the latest news in Texas agriculture. The largest and most experienced farm news team in the Lone Star State covers it all. From the piney woods of East Texas to the rocky ranges of the Trans-Pecos, and from the Panhandle down to the Rio Grande Valley. Here's today's top stories.
It hasn't been a perfect season, but there is a lot of good-looking winter wheat around the Texas High Plains. But how much of a setback might we see from this week's cold spell? I'm James Hunt, and we'll talk about that on Texas Ag Today.
A U.S. congressman visited with Texas farms, a dairy, and an agribusiness this week. We'll tell you why coming up on Texas Ag Today.
Internet solutions for rural land buyers. I'm Tom Nicoletti, and I'll have a report on options available across Texas that are not necessarily the same in every location. Straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Now, here's the host of Texas Ag Today, Carrie Martin.
Hello, Texas. Why don't you jump on in with me and buckle up? We're going to take a ride around the Lone Star State as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the nation, Texas agriculture. Be sure to hold on tight because it all starts right now. Lufkin cattleman Carl Ray Polk was elected as the new president of the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association at their recent annual meeting in Fort Worth. I asked Polk to tell us about his operation in East Texas.
So my family is over in East Texas. We ranch in Angelina in Houston County, right on the Neches River, which I think is some of the prettiest country in Texas. I'm fourth generation. My family has always had Gray Brahma cattle, still do today. Still run some Angus cattle, but our primary cow-calf operation are all F1s. Both F1 half and half Brangus, or I call 50-50 Brangus, as well as a bunch of good tiger stripe cattle. So we're a seed stock operator, cow-calf producer, been that way for about four generations, and hope to continue with the fifth generation.
Serving as president of any organization takes a lot of time and effort, but Polk says he knows it'll be worth it.
I have no doubt. The benefit that I feel and I see is not only to my family, my ranching operation, but being able to help others. This 147-year-old association, we've seen a lot of change. Change is still out there. I want to commit the time to assist, whether it's on policy, whether it's federal or state, in advancing this industry.
Polk will serve a two-year term as president of the TSCRA. USDA recently authorized landowners enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program to donate their grazing or haying rights to help ranchers impacted by recent wildfires.
USDA says although the primary nesting season is already underway in Texas, CRP participants can still donate emergency grazing authority to ranchers in need in counties eligible for the Livestock Forage Program due to drought. The Farm Service Agency is also offering non-emergency use provisions for CRP acres. Interested landowners and ranchers should contact their local FSA office. Additional details are available on farmers.gov. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
Cotton may be a profitable crop in Texas this year. Gerald Key runs the nation's largest cotton gin, Adobe Walls Gin in Spearman.
I think break even on a lot of people, especially if you don't own all your equipment and you're hiring a lot of stuff done, is probably in the pushing around 70 cents, obviously depending on how much you can make. But there's some potential to hit a pretty good lick with cotton this year.
Key says corn silage will not pay nearly as much as last year, so that may make cotton an attractive crop. There is a lot of good-looking wheat around the Texas High Plains. But James Hunt takes a look at what this recent cold snap may have done to that wheat.
With some exceptions here and there, winter wheat in the Texas High Plains is looking pretty good this season. But has this week's cold spell created problems? Texas A&M AgriLife agronomist Jordan Bell says most area wheat is currently in the vulnerable jointing stage.
When we move into these jointing periods, that developing head has now moved above the soil surface. So it is now very susceptible to these cold temperatures. And what data has shown is that temperatures less than 24 degrees for 2 or more hours are very yield limiting for a wheat crop. And so Tuesday morning, we had lows of 12 degrees in some of our northern panhandle counties. But it's not just that 12 degree low, we were less than 20 for more than 6 hours. So if we think about 24 degrees for, you know, more than 2 hours, we definitely exceeded that. And so there could be some concern as we move forward.
But on the other hand, there's still about 2 months left to go in the season, and we are talking about a crop with a well-earned reputation for being resilient.
The great thing about wheat is that it's not just the primary head. We have secondary heads, we have tertiary heads. So all these little tillers have the potential to put on a head. And even if we have an impact to the primary head, that does not mean that the secondary head won't compensate, that tertiary head. We have the ability to compensate for some injury to that primary head. So we're still at a point where we should not write off this wheat crop.
That's AgriLife agronomist Jordan Bell. I'm James Hunt on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
A Texas congressman visited a Texas farm, a dairy, and agribusinesses this week. Jessica Domel has the story.
Congress is not in session this week, and that has allowed U.S. lawmakers to take a break from the stately halls of the U.S. Capitol to visit with their constituents, friends, and family. U.S. Congressman Nathaniel Moran of Texas took advantage of the break and visited with C.M. Angus, Cox Concrete, and Moody Bloom's Tulip Farm in Mount Pleasant and Talsma Dairy in Mount Vernon on Monday. We caught up with the congressman after the visits.
One of the most important things that I can do is stay connected to our farming and our ranching community, because this year, as you know, one of the most important things we're going to have to do in Congress is pass a farm bill. We need to make sure that we get it right. We need to make sure that while we draft up the provisions of that bill, that we have in mind the daily struggles and work and operations of our farmers and ranchers across this nation, because they're the ones that provide the food, the fuel, and the fiber that make everything else in this country go. Them, along with those that are involved in the energy industry, are such an important thing from Texas and across the nation and across this world. And so we've got to stand firmly for our farmers and ranchers.
Moran said the farmers, ranchers, and agribusiness people he met with discussed the challenges they face every day in agriculture.
We're talking about the input costs that many of them are faced with on a daily basis. That's from the equipment cost to the fuel cost to the interest rates that they're having to deal with the bank. Those kinds of issues are overarching issues that impact every aspect of their operations. But then truly, the regulatory burdens on their operations from the federal government are having an impact that is making it almost impossible for the smaller family farms to stay in business. And that's not good. We need those small independent farmers and ranchers to not just survive, but to thrive.
The congressman said visits like these are important because they allow lawmakers to connect issues and potential legislation with the people it could impact.
The relationships that I'm developing with our farming and ranching community here in Northeast Texas are going to be vital when these bills come up for a vote, for me to understand how the bill itself or the amendments to the bill impact the farming and ranching community, and for them to be able to pick up the phone and to call me or to text me in the middle of those deliberations and to tell me whether or not a certain bill or an amendment is good or bad, because they're going to know how it impacts. They're going to feel more free to pick up the phone and call me if we've had this prior relationship. And I'm going to know that I can trust their voice when they're calling me. And that helps to persuade me on how to vote on these issues in Congress. So their voice individually matters. The voices of farmers and ranchers collectively matter. And through organizations like the Texas Farm Bureau, it certainly matters when I know I can trust those voices that are talking to me about these very important issues.
That was U.S. Congressman Nathaniel Moran of Texas. For the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network, I'm Jessica Domel.
High-speed internet access is an important factor in choosing a rural Texas property. Tom Nicoletti has more.
Today, my guest is Tyler Jacobs. He is partner broker with Hall & Hall Land Company. And Tyler, there are many options available across Texas that are not necessarily the same everywhere, but there are the options for rural land buyers when it comes to internet solutions and researching what they are potentially going to buy out there. And there are a number of areas we want to talk about. And let's begin with the fiber optics angle.
Tom, it's just shocking in the age we live in, the amount and how important good internet service is to a lot of buyers, to their livelihood and their lifestyle choices, and ever more an increasing criteria for which people evaluate a piece of property. And one of the most dynamic things that has happened in recent years, the electric co-ops primarily have been the recipients of federal grants, and they are stringing fiber optic on their poles to get out to their rural land customers. And this is high speed, low cost, very reliable. I personally am a customer of this product and can tell you that if you can find or affirm that fiber is coming to your part of the world or the piece of property that you're looking at, it will be an asset to your property.
Internet service in the rural areas of Texas certainly needs to be increased and have better quality.
Technology just becomes center to all of that, and internet is center to that technology. So it is vital that internet infrastructure, that keeps getting better and getting faster and getting cheaper. And I think you'll continue to see reinvestment in rural economies.
I'm Tom Nicoletti at the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
As temperatures begin to rise, it is time to start thinking about the coming hay season. We will discuss things to check on before you make your first bale. I'm Dr. Vanessa Olson from Overton.
And the big news of this week was that highly pathogenic avian influenza was found in Texas dairy herds. We'll check in with veterinarian Bob Judd to get his latest take on the situation.
These stories plus a look at the markets are straight ahead on Texas Ag Today.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. Go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate will go directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate.
He always wanted to be a rodeo clown, but he had to settle for being a radio clown. Here's Kerry Martin with more Texas Ag Today.
Hay season is just around the corner. Forage specialist Dr. Vanessa Olson has some things to think about before you roll that first bale.
Timing is everything when it comes to high-quality hay production. A pre-harvest inspection of your hay-making equipment can help make up valuable time and hopefully cut back on downtime later. Here are some recommendations. Sharpen or replace dull, damaged blades, sickle sections, and cutting mechanisms. A good cut on the grass reduces leaf loss and prevents stem damage, which can slow plant recovery. Also check the conditioning rollers, adjust spacing, and roll timing as needed. Properly maintained conditioners will minimize drying time. Tedders and rakes may not be as mechanically complex, but they still need to be functioning effectively. Look for teeth that are misaligned or broken. Replace or bend if possible. Setting the correct pickup height will minimize leaf loss and reduce soil uptake. Perform a thorough inspection of your hay baler. This is the centerpiece of your haymaking operation, and if it is not functioning properly, things come to a halt. Check shafts, sprockets, pulleys, and bearings for signs of wear. Inspect any belts and hoses for cracks. Properly tighten chains and belts. The bearings in the baling chamber often cause the most headache for round balers. Now is the time to check them, not when smoke is billowing out of the chamber. Check the rollers for any excessive movement or play. Look at tires and check air pressure. It is a good practice to do a test run by warming up equipment to check for improperly working components. So many factors contribute to a successful hay season. Don't let improperly prepped equipment be the factor that slows you down. This is Dr. Vanessa Olson with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension in Overton
for Texas Ag Today.
Earlier this week, highly pathogenic avian influenza was found in Texas dairy herds. Veterinarian Dr. Bob Judd has the latest on the issue.
Highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI, is a disease found in poultry and wild birds, and the disease has been reported in Texas birds. Recently, the United States Department of Agriculture indicated on March the 25th that the mysterious dairy disease that is being seen in Texas is related to HPAI. The disease has been found in older dairy cows in Texas, New Mexico, and Kansas, with symptoms of decreased lactation, decreased appetite, and other symptoms. Unpasteurized samples of milk from sick cattle collected from two dairy farms in Kansas and one in Texas, as well as a throat swab from another dairy cow in Texas, have tested positive for HPAI. The dairymen also report finding deceased birds on their property. Although some of the influenza strains can mutate and infect humans, the National Veterinary Lab indicates they have found no changes to the virus that would make it more transmissible to humans, and the public health risk is low. Federal and state agencies are conducting additional testing to determine if there are other factors contributing to the illness in the cows. There is no concern about the safety of commercial milk supply, as all milk sold in stores is pasteurized, which kills the virus, and milk from infected animals is not allowed in the supply chain. The disease is typically found in waterfowl, wild and domestic poultry, and Drovers.com indicates there is little information about this virus in ruminants. Dr. Travis Hoffman from North Dakota State indicates a goat in Minnesota was also found to be infected. HPAI has been detected in wild birds throughout the U.S. migratory flyways, and wild birds can be a carrier of the disease and not show symptoms.
I'm Dr. Bob Judd. This is the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.
We'll check the markets coming up next on Texas Ag Today.
Catastrophic wildfires have scorched over 1 million acres in the Texas Panhandle. Homes, barns, fences, and livestock have been lost. You can help farmers and ranchers who have been affected by these fires by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. 100% of all donations received go directly to farmers and ranchers impacted by these fires. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page.
Here's the latest market information on Texas Ag Today.
Let's take a look back at how our markets wrapped up on Thursday. Cattle futures traded both sides of unchanged throughout Thursday's trading session. However, on the close, we ended up higher, with April live cattle up $1.40, 185 even, June up $1.57, 180.25, August live cattle up $1.52 at 178.20. Feeder cattle finished higher, April feeders up 25 cents, 247.12, May feeder cattle up 42 at 248.70. Cash-fed cattle sales topping out so far this week at 186 here in the Southern Plains. That's $2 under last week. In the north, we're seeing live sales at 188 to 189, dress sales at 298 so far this week. Boxed beef was mixed, choice down 28 cents, 308.30. Select up 268 at 301.11. Now let's check the auction barns. Let's walk those pens with Larry Marble.
Doug Bass and his family own and operate Cattleman's Columbus. Doug, how was your sale there in Columbus on Wednesday?
We ended up sitting on 58 head of cattle and
walk the pens with us, Doug.
Yes, sir. On your Packer cows and bulls, your thinner, lower yielding cows bring 98-110. Medium flesh cows 112 to 124. Higher yielding cows bring 126 to 141. Lower yielding bulls 115 to 129. Better high yielding bulls 134 to 164. We had a heck of a good set of pairs there yesterday. Your better end pairs bring 2,500 to 3,800. Medium type pairs bring 1,150 to 2,100. Bred cows, better bred cows bring 1,800 to 2,200. Medium type breds bring 1,350 to 1,600.
So you had a good, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yes. Calf market looked really good too. Tell you what, I called it higher. It was darn sure good market yesterday. 2 to 3 weight steers, 310 to 430. Heifers, $3 to 415. 3 to 4 weight steers, 290 to 425. Heifers, 270 to 377, 4 to 5 weight steers, 275 to 390, heifers 260 to 320, 5 to 6 weight steers, 240 to 310, heifers 231 to 285, 7 to 8 weight steers, 198 to 60, heifers $2 to 231, and your 800 to 1,000 pound steers are bulls, 185 to 246. heifers 168 to 212.
Are you aware of anything for next week, Doug?
We're working on some cattle. We might have a little sellout deal next week. I'll let you know. But we're going to gather some cattle for a man right now. That's going to send quite a few. But we'll be in touch.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you for that next sale there in Columbus, Doug Bass.
Yes, sir. My sale is 979-877-4454. Or the office, 979-732-2622.
Doug, we appreciate the call. Neighbor, we appreciate you stopping in and listening to Walking the Pens on the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network. I'm Larry Marble. Good day to you.
Thanks, Larry. Back over to the futures market now, where lean hogs finished higher. April hogs up 52 cents, 86.62. May up 10 at 92.50. Class 3 milk was lower. Nearby March down 7 cents, 16.34 a hundredweight, with April milk down 8, 15.56 a hundred. Cotton finished slightly higher. USDA released the planting intentions report on Thursday morning. Cotton acreage coming in at 10.7 million acres. That was less than expected. In fact, the average trade guess was 10.95 million. We also had a decent export sales report Thursday morning. Two positive factors for the market, but the market didn't really react very strongly to that. May cotton was up 61 points, 91.38. July up 53, 91.97, with new crop December up 65 points, 83.99. Now, corn did react strongly to the report. USDA calling for 90 million acres to be planted this year. That's less than expected and well down from last year's 94.6 million acres. Corn taking a double-digit leap on that news. May corn up 15 and a quarter, 4.42 a bushel. July corn up 15 and a quarter, 454 and a half, with September up 16 cents, 464 and a half. Wheat closing higher in both hard and soft wheat. May Kansas City wheat up 7, 585 and a quarter. New crop July up 5 and 3 quarters, 579 and 3 quarters. Soft wheat in Chicago, July contract up 13 cents, 575 and 3 quarters. In the energy markets, May natural gas was up 3 cents at $1.74. May West Texas crude up $1.62, $82.97 a barrel. The financial markets were mixed Thursday afternoon. The Dow up 81 points, 39,841. The NASDAQ down 7, 16,342, with the S&P up 8, 5,257. That wraps up our look at the markets, and that wraps up this episode of Texas Ag Today. I'm Kerry Martin. Hope to see you back here next time as we cover the most important industry in this greatest state in the U.S. of A. Texas agriculture.
Thanks for joining us for Texas Ag Today. Be sure to follow the Texas Ag Today podcast, found wherever you listen to podcasts. For more Texas farm and ranch news, check out our website at texasfarmbureau.org or tfbradio.com. Texas Ag Today is a production of the Texas Farm Bureau Radio Network.